Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. All sin carries with it a curse. Denominationalism is a transgression of the will of God, and that is precisely how John defines sin in 1 John 3 and verse 4. There are few blights on the religious scene that have produced such devastation as the concept of denominationalism. Instead of preaching to the world the purity and simplicity of the gospel, the world has been subject to division by messages of perversion and contradiction. Instead of exalting before the world the New Testament church as revealed in Scripture, the unity for which Scripture calls, denominationalism has produced such a chaotic set of circumstances that it is truly doubtful that the thing shall ever be unraveled and corrected. Denominationalism has encouraged infidelity and atheism. In the prayer of Jesus for unity that we studied from John 17, 20 and 21, one reason that Christ prayed that his followers would be one was so that the world would believe that he was the one sent by the Father. Unity would provide such a powerful force on the side of truth and encourage people to believe. Whereas division that results from denominationalism has the very opposite effect. The prayer of Jesus is being ignored. There is no doubt but infidelity has grown, and some have considered atheism the fastest growing religious idea in the world today. Whether that be true or not, denominationalism has certainly cultivated the ground that is very receptive to the seeds of unbelief. Division repels rather than attracts. Intelligent people ought to be able to see that Christ is either divided, hopelessly confused, or he has nothing to do with denominationalism. Friend, it is the latter. How people can contend that the contradictory and divergent ideas put forth are of Jesus Christ is beyond reason. It is demeaning to Christ to even suggest it. Yet young people are so exposed to all sorts of destructive skepticism of modernism and materialism, especially in the higher educational institutions, and the inconsistent and irrational pleas of the denominationalist are so easily overturned by learned skeptics. As a result, young come away just as skeptical and knowing nothing of the true church. Their meager faith is destroyed. Denominationalism is also the producer of such waste and unnecessary duplication. Consider how many millions of dollars are spent on just building and maintaining meeting houses. In some cities, you'll find a church building on nearly every block. None of them are full, and the expenditure to keeping them operating is beyond calculation. But everybody has to have their own church, you see, that suits them. So we have all of this duplication and this waste. With millions dying without ever having heard the name of the only Savior, Jesus Christ, religionists are spending millions upon millions keeping up the individual denominational machinery. Would it not be more profitable that the money be spent spreading the gospel rather than keeping up something of which the Bible never speaks but condemns? The waste of time and of talent, in addition to the monetary waste, only makes denominationalism all the more abominable. Each church, with its own literature, its own preachers, its own programs, promoting their distinctive denomination, of a truth, those who produce and condone such a thing shall have much for which to answer before God. The religious division created and nurtured by denominationalism contributes to division of homes and families. Now keep in mind that the home is a divine institution brought into being by Christ. But no denomination has that distinction. Yet these human organizations have done their part in causing strife and division in the divinely given home. Seeing how the strength of any nation ultimately rests on the strength of the home, the basic unit of society, cannot you see how denominationalism is an enemy to the welfare of every citizen? Many marriages fail because there is no agreement on the matter of religion. With each determined to go his or her own way according to the dictates of some denomination. The harm done to children and the frustration and confusion planted in their minds is seldom overcome. With father going one direction and mother the other, what is the child to think? It is not uncommon that he thinks the whole affair of religion is worthless and harmful, and he gives up on God altogether. Denominationalism contributes to such thinking as this. And we can now say with confidence that the greatest tragedy of denominationalism is the loss of precious souls. Regardless of how moral and honest and sincere those involved in denominationalism are, they're giving their time and their money and their energy and their thought to that which cannot save, but will cause millions to be lost. Matthew 15 and verse 18, every plant which my heavenly Father planteth not shall be rooted up. Nothing is surer than the fact that the Father never planted denominations. And what has caused denominationalism? What keeps it alive? The cause can be traced back to the apostasy from the true church, and the divisions that have resulted from men trying to either reform or bring into being a new and improved church. Every denomination that has or does or will exist does so without biblical authority. It is caused by a departure from the Word as the all-sufficient guide and the unwillingness of people to bow and submit to the authority of God, creating what they want and what they like rather than following what God teaches. It is the exaltation of men and human creeds and such like above Christ. People are so prone to hold to traditions that they will not abandon them even when it is shown to be contrary to revealed truth. They hold tenaciously to what ancestors may or may not have done and believed. They blindly follow religious leaders in whom they place their confidence. Rather than searching the Scripture to learn what is so, they ask men and turn to the writings of men. They formulate their beliefs accordingly. But Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men." Any doctrine that is more or less than what God through Christ has taught is either too little or too much. Man's malcontent with God's Word lies at the root of the problem. And there can be no compromise with religious error. When Paul met error, he withstood it and would not give place to it for an hour, Galatians 2 and verse 5. Compromise always produces something other than the truth. You see, friend, truth is not man's to negotiate, but to propagate. We're not to obtain unity at the sacrifice of truth, nor maintain unity on the plane of compromise. Unity is to be sustained in standing for the truth. The plea, "I like it, and I see no harm in it, others are doing it, what's wrong with it?" They're nothing but mouthings of those whose heart is not wedded to the Lord, but will seek their own way. We cannot have some so-called unity and diversity in those matters where God has spoken. We cannot have unity without having biblical authority for what we say and do and believe. When we step outside of His authority and begin to add to and take from His will, we shall inevitably have division. The only cure for this religious malady of denominationalism that has wrought so much havoc is to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. The goal is not merely to have union. You can have union in a sack with dogs and cats, but where is the unity? Union is not necessarily the unity for which our Lord prayed. This idea of agreeing to disagree is not the oneness of the Lord's mind. Amos wrote, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The pious but misguided so-called tolerance that some advocate today does not cure the disease. While every man has the right to his own beliefs, it does not follow that his beliefs are right. Christian toleration does not grant error the right to be accepted as being just as beneficial as accepting the truth. God will allow all people to do their own thing if they wish. But God does not promise to approve and accept just anybody and anything except on His conditions and according to His will. Charles Spurgeon once wrote in his commentary on Psalm 18:49, "Too much politeness to traitors may be treason to our King." Well, we agree with that sentiment. The only solution is the divinely given one. Romans 15:5 suggests the correction as well as the prevention of division. Namely, according to Christ. Everything must be according to Christ. Colossians 3:17 commands, "Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of," and that means by the authority of, "the Lord Jesus." There must be scripture for what we say and do in practice and uphold in religious matters. As one old and poorly educated man once said, when answering why he did not accept mechanical instruments of music in worship, he said, "Thar ain't no scripture for it." Well, he was not learned in the language, but he sure had a grasp on the biblical principle of truth. When and if people will discard all authorities except "hear ye him," then the chaos and division of denominationalism will fade into the history of man's rebellion against God. People can march under the same banner. People can be united in the cause of Christ, but not until each one is willing to get in step with the Master and hear and heed his direction can that be possible. Meanwhile, we cannot fellowship denominations, since they are not of God. The unfruitful works of darkness are off limits to those who would submit to Christ and be faithful to Him, Ephesians 5:11. We cannot, and we will not, bid Godspeed to those who teach other than the doctrine that belongs to Christ, 2 John 9-11. We will continue to expose and oppose and dispose of the fallacies of men in attempting to uphold denominationalism. And we must be persistent, consistent, and proclaim the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 8:12. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.